This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. Now, let's pick up where we left off.
We're Luna. And this is Gayotic.
Our podcast about absolutely nothing and yet everything, hosted by us homosexuals
who all share one brain cell.
Oh my god.
I'm Josette.
I'm Katie.
I'm Naomi.
The three of us have been in a band together for years. We've been friends for a decade, and we've been gay since the beginning of time.
Oh yes.
You've been bossing.
Yeah,
you go, girl.
I like it.
I've been girl
back.
Bossing this.
Yeah, you
go,
keep
girl boss.
Yeah,
This is
I love it.
This is a big episode for us. This is a very full circle moment because we have the chance to talk to somebody who to us is an icon who we don't actually want to speak with because
we're so nervous.
We're so nervous,
shaking in our boots.
And yeah. This is somebody who was a part of a project that actually, in a way, affected our careers a lot because we did a music video that was a satire of this film, But I'm a Cheerleader. And this person is also the co-director and co-writer of the TV show High School that we talked to Tegan and Sarah about. And we're just fucking honored to have you on. This is Clea Duvall.
Yeah. Hi. It's nice to be here.
Are you in LA? Do you live in LA?
I am, yeah.
Cool. And you're from here too, right?
Yeah, born and raised.
Wow.
Wait, where in LA?
I grew up like around Santa Monica and Western, that sort of like East Hollywood area.
I was talking to Cal this morning actually.
Cal Ross.
Oh yeah. I know Cal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to Cal and I was like, "Oh, we're talking to Clea later today," and Cal said that I should ask you about escape rooms.
Wow.
Okay.
I heard that you are obsessed with escape rooms. I think that was the word that was used.
That is true. I really do love escape rooms. I love to be presented with a problem I can solve.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true. But I've done all of the escape rooms in Los Angeles, so now I can't really do that. So the obsession has sort of like waned a little bit because they're just not as readily available.
How many escape, if you've actually done all the escape rooms in Los Angeles, how many escape rooms have you done, would you say?
I've done over 100 for sure.
That's so awesome. Okay, wait. So
I've done like maybe 10.
We've done a modest amount, but we've done only two in LA. Right? Two
Which
or three,
ones have
maybe?
You done?
Josette
well, we
and
did,
I.
Well, yeah, we did one. We did one that was honestly amazing. It's like Soviet Russia. Like,
it was CIA propaganda.
But I loved it. Uh-huh.
We were full in character.
Give me a mustache. I'm 100% there.
They gave us it was crazy.
And then we did one. We did, the three of us did, a Pharaoh's tomb, but the goal of the escape room was never put away.
It was like at the end.
Oh no!
You're supposed to open like the sarcophagus, or the sarcophagus is supposed to open, and the whole time we were doing it, the sarcophagus was open. So we were like assuming that there must be some other reveal, and then
the guy
came
was
in and was
high.
Like, "Oh, like was this just been open?"
Yeah, it seems like kind of an important part of the reset.
Yeah. We also, during that escape room, maybe
we hated,
had this experience.
We hated
we
it.
We were, and this was no shade to any of the people who remain anonymous that we were with. There was dead weight.
Well, okay.
In our group, there were people who were not bringing escape room energy.
Well, the three of us, I mean, I think it's unfair because the three of us, it's not fair when the three of us are on a team.
Because we're doing mind
Because we know each other so well. We just know how to work with each other. And also it's like we know we don't have to really talk that much. Like there's a lot of thinking that goes on behind everything. And we were entering it with people we did not know that well who were not in the same mind meld.
They were interested in having fun.
We were not interested in having fun.
Are you interested in having fun when you're doing an escape room, or are you interested in getting out as fast as you can?
I want to get out as fast as I can. Isn't that why I'm in there?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And would
you can have fun on the outside, but when you're in Soviet Russia, you got to get out of there.
Would you say that describes you as a person? Are you there to have fun, or are you here to get the job done?
I mean, it depends on where I am. Mm.
Okay.
I am a person who does enjoy having fun. I don't want to do something that I never enter something being like, I refuse to have fun here. I just want to get in and get out.
Yeah.
Socially, sometimes I do just want to get in and get out.
Absolutely.
But I'm also like at a stage in my life where I would say, you know, if I'm leaving my house, it is like 85% of the time it's because I'm going somewhere where I think I will have fun.
Yes.
And the things that I don't think are fun, I don't do unless I have to.
Yeah. Cause being at home is
fun. I totally
fun.
Agree.
That's big time goals.
Being in the escape room is a full time job. Like,
well, but to me, it's fun. It like is. Having a task and figuring it out and solving the problems. Like, it's so like I just feel very. And I like a task. I like a game.
Totally.
Have you?
I like
surviving.
Have you ever played those? I can't remember the name, but it's like where they send you. I got one for my girlfriend and I, where it's like,
Hunt a killer.
Yeah. Wow.
Wait,
you're already there with
what
me.
What is this?
It's essentially like you're a detective. They give you a whole box and you're solving a case. It's very fun.
That's sick.
It's, we did get that, I think, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it was because it's like 10, you get 10 boxes that all add up to solving the case. And they're so detailed and they're so well done. But I found myself getting overwhelmed. It was just too much.
Yeah.
And just like, I don't know what part is going to tie in 7 weeks later. I just didn't have the.
Is it a really long form?
Also, didn't
game?
Have the space
it's
for.
Long.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's literally like 10 boxes worth of stuff, which I think is amazing and wish that I had like a space in my house where I could put up the like, you know, the red string of, you know,
right.
Yes.
They literally give you that kind of shit.
But
that's exactly.
I just don't have I don't have the patience for it.
I don't have the memory.
Same company makes individual ones.
Ooh.
Me neither.
I would just forget.
You need a separate house.
We did notes. Like
you need
notes.
You need a house for the game.
Yeah.
Like,
you need an ADU.
Setting that up in my.
Get an Airbnb for the duration of the game.
Literally. Honestly, that would have been a clutch thing to do in the pandy.
Well, that's, I guess, what Glass Onion. I was gonna say that would be
really elites are doing.
That would be really, really fun. I would love to do that.
Maybe one day.
Well, I would love to do a murder mystery party.
Have
I would
you
never
ever
do
done?
I will. I'll come. I would love to do that. Too.
Okay.
I know, but we need. I don't want to be the one to do any of the work. I need to hire.
We were thinking of doing that. So Naomi and I have birthdays that are a week apart, and we had talked about doing that at one point.
Maybe next year.
If
we
somebody
should do
does
it.
All of the
when
work.
When are your birthdays?
They're both Capricorns.
Yeah.
If that's the
December 30th and January 6th. So I'm a year older than Naomi.
Yeah, January 6th. It's a super awesome day to have a birthday these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's,
oh, yeah.
Naomi's
it's just 24-hour news coverage.
So then, wait, what's your sign?
Joe, when is your birthday?
February. I'm a Pisces.
Oh, what? February
26.
It's coming up.
Are you going to wish me a happy birthday?
I'll wish you a happy birthday today.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Happy birthday.
When is your birthday so we can wish you a happy birthday?
September 25th.
Oh, so are you a Virgo? Oh, you're a Libra. You're on the cusp, though.
You're on the cusp.
I am. I'm very organized, but I'm still. It's impossible for me just to make simple decisions.
Yeah, it's generally impossible to make simple decisions. Do you follow astrology? Do you know stuff about astrology? I feel like there's a
very superficially.
Sure.
Like I you know, and very much like my Libras are supposed to be very sort of like are pretty shallow in certain ways, which I don't totally agree with, but in terms of I do feel special because I'm a Libra, which is a quality of being a Libra.
No, that's a good quality to have, I think.
I don't really know a lot about Libras because my little sister is September 22nd, so she's Virgo.
Yeah, my brother's
Virgo. All that I know is, like... I mean, it's the scales, right? So there's a lot about, like, fairness.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah. Maybe I didn't being even upset know, if things aren't fair.
Absolutely shook. I didn't even know the symbol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you not shook? Did you not say what as well?
I mean, I didn't know. I wouldn't necessarily say I was shook by
it. Okay, I was shook by Naomi's knowledge. I'm sorry.
I am often shook by Naomi's knowledge. Yes. Yeah. I kind of want to go back to talking about escape rooms. I'm not done.
Well, I just want to clarify. I'm not saying I'm so special. I'm saying that, like, I like.
That's what I was saying.
Well,
Cleo, we got you on record.
Yeah,
we have a recording.
I have a question based off of that, and I'm taking Katie's escape room thunder. But is that why you wanted to, like, was the when you were growing up, did you want to be an actor or did
I wanted to be a writer.
Oh, you wanted to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Were you writing? Yeah. Prose? Were you writing songs? Were you writing poems?
I was writing I wrote short stories. I wrote poems. I wrote like books. I was an only child I spent quite a bit of time by myself. So I would just like create these, you know, worlds and then just go into them and write these characters and for like hours and hours and hours.
I'm also an only child. We'll come back to that. I'll let Katie talk about escape rooms, but I
do want to talk about you being an only child though.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like I should let it go and we'll just
let's talk about escape rooms because I don't want you to feel cheated.
We'll come back to them.
Okay, two things. Well, for the first thing is I wanted to ask, like, who have you done them with? Do you have trusted people that you do escape rooms with?
Like an elite partner?
Oh yeah.
Is your partner?
Yeah, my partner, she's very good at them.
Great.
We do them, like, we'll do them alone a lot, but then we also, Mary Holland, who we worked together on a couple of different things.
Cool.
Mary Holland and her husband, the four of us have done, like, we're sort of like the core group. And then there are some other people who we'll do them with sometimes. Or like if I'm away working, then I'll, you know, I always want to do that with the people I'm working with.
Because you're in other cities.
Exactly. And there are new rooms that I can do.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting.
Have you done one with Tegan and Sarah?
Did you do one in Calgary?
Yeah, I did a lot in Calgary.
Hell yeah.
I'm trying to think if I don't think we've ever done them. I don't think we have done them together.
Okay. Well,
I would like to be there when it happens. We did go with Rayleigh and Season,
cool,
who play Tegan and Sarah, and then Kyle and Kobe, who play their parents.
Yeah,
as sort of like an icebreaker activity.
Totally.
How'd that go?
And that Season's, it was an office, the show The Office themed room, which was really good. Season very quickly was like, I don't care about this. And she just like sat in a chair and she was on her phone. And Rayleigh was like really trying. And but it was like, and Laura, who's the co-writer of High School, we were really like wanting to make everything work and trying to like include everybody. But it was very stressful wanting because you just want everybody to get along because you're about to spend all this time working together. So
yeah. Yeah, that does sound stressful.
But it was a very cool room. And then we went back when my partner came to visit me. We did a lot of those rooms.
Wow,
that's so cute.
Yeah.
The second thing I wanted to say about escape rooms is that Joe and Naomi have heard me use this metaphor a lot for our career.
Oh yeah,
It's
true.
And I wonder if it resonates with you at all, or if you would rebuke it. But basically, sometimes I feel like our industry is like a series, the music industry is like a series of escape rooms where you start out in like a small escape room and you have to like work really hard to find your way out of it. And then you get then you get let out of that escape room, but then you're just in a bigger, fancier escape room and you have to keep like the sense of urgency, like never really shifts of like, oh my God, I just have to get out to the next escape room so that I can keep playing this game that I'm trapped in.
This game of my passion that I chose to do.
Do you relate to that?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I could definitely, for like your business seems so crazy. And not that like the film and television is any better, but it, you know.
You guys at least have unions.
Like, we have unions and like, you know, it is such a like you move in slow motion and then everything goes really fast. Yeah. So I guess in that way, you know, once things are happening, it's like you're racing to the end, but it feels, you know, like production at least feels way more like pre-production and production feels more like you're on like Amazing Race or something like that.
Sure.
Because you're just like trying to get everything done and not make mistakes and make all the right choices. And if something doesn't go, you know, you're just, it's always, that's more what it feels like.
Totally.
A marathon. Yeah.
Tour maybe for us is like the Amazing Race. And maybe it's like Survivor because everyone, you've had such a, you the bar
alliances.
Is so low that you're like, oh my God, a shower. And they show you the shower and then everyone gets excited. Like, yeah, it's maybe a little more like Survivor.
Which is why we love watching Survivor on tour.
Because we can relate.
I love Survivor.
It's so,
you do?
It's so
Would
good.
You ever go
so
on good. It?
No. Absolutely not.
You have to be. I feel like it's only it's psychopaths only.
I
like
don't you know have, if I have like, it within
you
have me.
To, you have to take a psych eval before, and they let you in only if you're a full blown psychopath.
Yeah.
If there was one TV show that you would do that's like that, what would it be? Or or none. You're over surviving and racing.
I mean, maybe Amazing Race. That feels like one. Although there are a lot of things with heights in that, which I feel like would paralyze me.
Yeah.
You're scared of heights.
Have you all heard of The Traitors?
No.
On Peacock?
No.
Oh, it's so great.
What's it?
I would go on that show.
What's the deal?
It's basically Mafia.
Sick.
Mafia. The
game? That,
like, yeah.
Oh, wait.
It's on Peacock. It's really fun.
I think I saw a trailer for this. Is it all like kind of at the moment, like slightly notable people, perhaps from like a bunch of different fields. Is that what's happening right now?
It's half people from reality TV.
Oh my God.
Or like reality situations. Yeah. And then half just non-reality
have
people.
Have you ever played the game Avalon?
Oh my God.
No, what is that?
Oh my God.
For some reason, I feel like you'd be, you're a sick individual, but I feel like
you
might
be someone
who might like this game.
Yeah.
It's a game of deception. Who's going to,
we'll just,
like you're going to do
let's
better.
Just say.
Oh yeah, please tell me about it.
It's a fabulous game. Essentially,
it can make your friends cry. That's all.
When we played it, when Naomi and I were still dating, we like slept in separate rooms the night that we played.
Due to a critical misunderstanding.
Explain how the game works.
So it is. It's essentially Mafia. The broad theme is like, you know, is Mafia. That's like the general umbrella. But the world within which Avalon happens is like sort of the Merlin universe of like
Camelot
and knights and stuff. So like
an
entry level to the game, like the first time that you play it, the cards in play will be minions of Mordred and loyal servants of Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone will put their heads down or get delivered, they'll get a card with a character, they'll put their heads down, and there's one person in the group who is neither a minion or, they're kind of a loyal servant of Arthur. They're Merlin, so they know who everybody is.
So, like, basically,
you're really going.
When you're playing in a group, basically, you're either good
or you're evil.
And then there's one good person who knows
Merlin,
who is good and who is evil. Like, there's one all-knowing good person.
But the goal is to not, the goal is to find the other good people, and for Merlin to not reveal themselves. So they have to kind of silently steer the game and try to steer people in the direction of getting the right evil people. And depending on what kind of sick psychos you're playing with, the evil people can be really convincing.
Yeah,
we've played with some sick psychos.
It is absolutely
one of the worst
up.
Like feelings I've ever had playing Avalon was actually when I was
evil
and
sucks.
I won the game.
Being evil is
and then
terrible.
I was like,
being evil really is the worst.
It's terrible.
But some people, I think some people play the game and they absolutely love it. Like Scott, our old tour manager, like he he's absolutely fucking obsessed.
He's a naughty little boy.
Some of our friends have absolutely played it and have vowed to never play it again.
Yeah, I think some people cannot take it.
But it is very, it's fun when you're in it and you're good and you're like on a hot streak of being like, I know you're good. I know it in my heart. I know they're bad. Let's get them out of this game.
Naomi had a very good reason for thinking that I was evil.
I did. I
and the reality was that I was good. And so my partner was coming for me saying,
I was like
evil.
Standing up being like, Katie's evil. Got to get her out of this game. Nobody take her on a quest. I was like going hard.
But you know what?
Really
why
bad.
It was so poignant was because I think I was at a point in my life where I was like, I am evil.
It resonated. This is I'm really sorry about that.
Well,
you
I'm
know,
really sorry.
I do forgive you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that you felt bad.
I feel like not that things cancel each other out, but I did a lot of worse things.
Well, speaking of canceling, we're going to take a small break.
Let me start by saying this show, Gaiotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now, speaking of BetterHelp?
Not good.
Yeah?
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, you know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently, and it's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life, or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know?
We are very pro therapy as a band. I'm also pro like getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was like the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend
found.
Of ours who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp as an individual that travels quite a bit and needed to be able to do it over the phone. And yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date, and it makes you feel very nervous, and you do have to find the right person, and BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/gaiotic today, and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/gaiotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go,
please.
You're listening to Gaiotic? Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay,
we're back
from the break.
So the break happened.
We're back from the break.
Okay, great. I feel refreshed.
That's good.
I'm so glad that you feel refreshed.
Yeah, what a nice break.
Yeah. In your life, do you feel, is it easy for you to be deceptive or manipulative?
Oh my God.
Are you all straightforward?
I'm not good at it. I'm stupid.
I think I'm often, okay. No, you're not. If I'm being transparent, I think I'm an awful liar. Like, but I can sell a fib pretty well, depending on the level, like low level.
Wait,
kind of
can I talk about
fibbing.
The type of lying that you do?
It's more,
I think
the,
is funny.
It's the same type of lying of like, I'm on my way, and it's like I have not left. You know what I mean?
That's different.
That's
though.
Fibbing.
But you say it. Oh, I wish I could think of like an actual example, but my brain.
Sometimes
is
I do
so
like
bad.
Be telling the
it's
truth.
Like we're trying to get. I think the three of us are trying to get out of all the homework we have to do all the time.
No, Naomi
Our
will be like
yeah.
Naomi will say something so random. It's like if
sometimes
they don't
want
to hang out with somebody, then they'll be like, oh, I really wish I could, but like. I'm washing my sofa cover and it's taking so long.
Doing that.
Like, you'll just come up with something that's like,
but it
whoa.
Maybe is not what's impeding me from doing the thing.
I think yeah,
it's
yeah.
just, it's just something that I'm
and
doing
it's like, that
I,
actually doesn't add
that I could
up,
stretch.
But I can't refute that without seeming like I have a stick up my ass. So
this was an only child thing for me. I was so accustomed to spending so much time alone that when I started like getting older and getting invited to social things, it would often be too overwhelming for me to do all of them. Mm-hmm. So I became a fibber. I was like,
you were popular. We get it. You're just like wanting everybody to know you're popular.
No.
So many babes knocking at my door.
I wish. I'm jealous of these kids.
You kind of did have.
I understand that. Do you still get overwhelmed by social situations, or are you?
I think I've figured it out, but I think I was painfully shy. And I was like, my mom is the coolest person in the entire world and my best friend. Like, you know, like
shout out to Harry.
That's very cute.
that kind of energy. I was like, I would like to go home and hang out with my mom in silence, which was what I was accustomed to. And I think, yeah, I was just, she's very shy and our home life was very quiet and I was really, really shy. So I had to get over it as I got older. Mm-hmm. But I think I do require... Maybe this is an only child thing. Could just be me. But I require, I think, more alone time than other people. And people do sometimes get a little sad about that.
Do you relate to that as another only child?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. I find I get very easily... It's one thing when you're like going out to a place to have a social thing, but it's really when having people at my house... You know, like having a party at my house is a nightmare to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's really overwhelming. And it's something that my partner, like when we first got together, she was so confused. Like she didn't get it. Mm-hmm. You know, like she is also, I mean, she is also an only child.
Oh.
But was not raised an only child. It's not my story to tell.
Yes. Yeah. Sure.
But I mean, she wasn't an only child until, you know, for her entire upbringing. And like, she has parents that she gets along with very well, who spent a lot of time with her. She was like an only child who had a lot of engagement.
Yes.
And I was the other kind of only child. Yes. So it was really like, and she really liked having people over and having people in our house. And there was this one time where she like, I forget what the party was for, but we had only been living together for maybe like 6 months or a year or something like that. And had this party at our house. And I felt like I was short circuiting or something. And I just went into our room and with the lights off and just like laid on the bed, like stared at the ceiling. Cause I was just like, I'm so overwhelmed right now. And she came in and saw me there and she was like, what are you doing? Like, what is wrong with you? And then just laying in the dark in the middle of a party. And I was like, I really just need
to I think that is like one of the best feelings. And that maybe you weren't experiencing it this way, but like, I kind of feel like there's nothing better than being at a party at your house and then hiding and just knowing that the party is happening, but like, you don't have to necessarily be a part of it. Like, I've had I've had big Halloween parties the last 2 years and with a lot of help from my dykes.
That's weird. I never got invited, but
Well, next year, we were gonna invite you,
but we had this sofa that we were washing.
I was washing my sofa cover.
I was washing my sofa cover and it was actually the text was in there and it got washed.
I hate when my text gets washed.
It got washed away.
happens to me all the time.
The thing is, we are going to invite you now this year.
Yeah, and you're going to regret that you made a joke about it because
it's actually the best party of the year. People call it the fuckening.
Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot people called it the fuckening.
Because we're like sober and a bit like.
Lame.
Oh, me too.
Boring. Oh, right.
God bless.
Oh, baby.
I'm sober too.
Okay,
10 years.
Okay, well, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm like a year and a half off substances, but I entered.
We're
like
2 years off cigs.
Yeah, we're 2 years off cigs.
Yeah, for you. Hell yeah.
That's good.
It's for the best. God.
So wait, so how old were you when you got sober?
34.
Sexy. I was gonna say that, like in reference to the question about manipulation and deception, I was like. Gonna say that historically I think I have been a super manipulative person, but I think that I had to kind of accept, and also what was hard about that is like when you have a sense again with being evil and being good at it and being a Slytherin, it's like when you kind of have a sense that manipulation sometimes works for you, like if you have an idea of like I want to Oh, it sounds so gross to say, but it's like, I want to date this person, or like, I want to get in this social situation. And then like, you scheme and then you actually achieve it. You're like, oh, cool. This is how to live life.
You can use your powers for good or for evil.
Yeah, you do.
I think that's like
the, you use them for
when you know that you're a charming individual, which you are. I think you
say a little more.
that I think you can just you make a choice, right? Like as I don't think I'm like you in that way, but I think you have made the choice to use your powers for good, and you are very kind to people, and you
do
don't manipulate
people. I
still
use my powers,
but
you're good
at socializing.
You don't like, yeah, you're not like
you're
lying.
The best out of the three of us. I'm. Something,
I don't think
something
I
is definitely up with me. I'm only good at performing. Like, I can perform socializing. I can't actually talk to people.
But I went through this really gay thing in recovery where, like, I realized that.
Like, gay in a derogatory
gay,
way?
Yeah.
In, like, a 2007 way?
Yeah. Gay in a sweet, like,
oh,
gay
oh,
in
emotional.
A,
yeah,
in
emotional
way. In, like, I associate the word gay with, like,
feelings.
Inner child work.
Oh, cute. Okay,
gay.
Sure. Wow. Okay, go on.
And, like, I realized... there was a night that I was like nervous when I was going out, and I was doing like inner child stuff at the time. And I realized that there was a part of like little Katie who kind of thought that like mommy was taking her out. This sounds so crazy. Mommy was taking her out so that she could like find somebody to like give little Katie away to.
Oh,
wait, that's what you felt when you were
that's
younger?
What my little kid felt. No, that's what I feel like as an adult when I was like,
you're like, who's
recovering
gonna
and integrating
me?
It was like I had to tell my little Katie, like, we're gonna go out into the world. I even like wrote like a little lullaby about it.
This is so nice.
God.
Yeah, I'll send it to you guys, but it was like I had to say, like, we're gonna go out, we're gonna like meet people, they're gonna be very cool, but like, you and I are going home together. And we're going to have some tea and a snack, and then we're going to go to bed.
I'm crying
thinking
about this.
Was it you just trying to not lose yourself? Like, what's the...
I just needed to tell the little girl, like...
That you didn't have to sell
yourself. I'm not saying, like, now go and put on a show so that mommy can make some money off of you. You know what I mean? Like, it's that energy.
Not like fancy as mom.
Yeah, exactly. Fancy, you have one shot or whatever it is. Do you guys know that song?
No.
I saw your
That's
eyes
such a good song.
Completely
no.
glaze
no.
I was, I thought you were going to start singing.
I thought there's stuff I don't know.
Reba. It's Reba.
It's Reba?
It's a Reba cover of Bobby Gentry.
Yeah, yeah. So
wow.
Shout out originally to Reba. It was Bobby Gentry, and then Reba covered it. And it was like her first big hit, but it's like...
Wow.
You know what? I actually heard this song on TV not that long ago, actually.
Oh.
Wow. Never mind.
But yeah, it's exactly that. It's the mom being like, you have to like look really good and go out and like find a rich person who's gonna like take care of you so that you can like make it in
but
the
it's
world.
The opposite. Your experience was the opposite of that.
Yes, exactly.
Being nice, being the nice mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's saying you're gonna hang out. Wow. Oh, fucking shit.
I feel like just the three of us have been talking. I'm gonna shut the heck
I know.
Up on
I
this,
think what's
on
happening is I'm like trying to
No, you're being good.
You're being good.
Okay. Clea, do you wanna tell us about early experiences thinking, oh no, I could be gay.
If you had them. Some people just didn't have them at all.
We found out that a lot of people have actually not felt that way, or they haven't
must
made the
be
connection.
Nice.
Yeah. Must be nice.
Not for any of us. So if you're in the shame club, come on, take a seat.
Oh yeah, I mean, I feel like I had so much of it. I didn't really know that. Like, I wasn't one of those kids who was like, I definitely know I'm gay, because I didn't have any gay people around me. There was no like representation anywhere. I was really drawn to like Joe on the Facts of Life. And that was, you know, I was a little too into that show. And then, when I was like 14, I met a girl I had a friend who came out, and it was like a big deal.
Yeah,
she got kicked out of her house. It was like really bad for her, but I was obsessed with this girl before. And then when she came out, I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh, I like her even more. And then that you know, it was sort of like, you know, at the end of like Usual Suspects or something, where I sort of flash back to all these things and all the posters on my wall and like put it all together. Yeah. And that I figured it out. And so that was like, you know, that part of it, I was not feeling shame yet. Mm. But then when, I mean, I didn't tell anybody, I was like, I don't want anybody to know. So I guess that is, it was not on the surface shame at that point. But then when I came out, my mom took it very badly. Mm. And that's when it really, then the shame really was like in the forefront, even though I was like, there's nothing wrong with me, something's wrong with you, you know. Yeah. That kind of, I was, yeah, very like strong about it and like didn't really like allow myself to feel any of that. Mm-hmm. Until I was like, you know, in my 30s. But I also, you know, being an actor, I started acting when I was so young. Yeah. And didn't want to, you know, was not out for a long time. And there was like a great deal of shame in that. And like, you know, people trying to out me and like making fun of me, like, if, you know, in that way of like, well, you think, you know, like, who's she fooling kind of way, which was, mm, you know, I mean, who was I fooling? They weren't wrong, you know, but it's still, you know,
it's brutalizing.
Yeah, still, yeah, so, yeah,
still your story to tell, you know.
Yeah, totally. And so it was, you know, not until like, I wouldn't even say, like, I spent years being like, it's about the person, which was, you know, as long as the person was a girl.
Yeah, exactly.
True. but it, you know, it wasn't until, and like, I couldn't even say like the word lesbian, which I still don't like that word.
Yeah.
And I still don't like it, but I don't, mm, feel like if somebody calls me that, I'm like, whatever, it's true.
Yeah.
But, that's not the word I pick. But yeah, it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I really felt like, I mean, really, I guess after I got sober, that I also like being in a relationship with someone who doesn't have that shame,
mm-hmm, yeah,
is really healing in a way where you're just like, but don't you like want to apologize for your own existence? And like, don't you think you should have never been born? She's like, nope.
Like, I'm like, oh, like, shit.
I'm great. I should be here. I belong in the world. Like, is really like, was really nice. Cause I feel like everyone that I had been with, like, everyone has a degree of it,
mm-hmm,
you know.
And does she like, want to like kiss you and hold your hand in public? And stuff
she
like
does want to kiss me and hold my hand.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Even after 10 years. So that's nice. That's,
I didn't mean, yeah, in general. I meant like when you're on the street. Obviously, she wants to kiss you and hold your hand. I'm like, well, and does your partner like private. You?
Yeah. I had shame.
She likes me.
I had shame about the public stuff. Honestly, I still do.
I still do. I'm like, I don't like being looked at because I feel
I think that's
afraid.
Harder when you're clockable as gay. Like,
that's
we've talked
real
about
shit.
This actually a lot on this show. I don't know why it's like it's come up so much.
Did you feel that kind of like, I don't know. We talk about it in this in our dynamic as being like, Joe and I felt as young people, like prior to coming out or knowing anything about, you know, sexuality or gender performance or whatever, just feeling like clocked, like as different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you find that like people, did you find that like other maybe like curious young people, girls would kind of be able to like sense that maybe there was something different about you or like maybe there's something interesting about you, or did you not experience that at all?
Not really. Like I grew up in an environment where there were no gay people.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, and it was a pretty homophobic environment and it was always like gay people are always made fun of and it was always guys, you know,
totally.
Like that's what I would see. And like, that's also what people would make fun of. Like it didn't feel like an option.
Right. Gay women like don't
and
even
I was
exist.
Also like, I'm also still like, I am also not very good at knowing if somebody likes
sure.
me. So that it's possible that was happening and sure. I just didn't know.
It's so fascinating thinking about, I think like, you know, cause obviously one of your biggest like moments, like reckoning with this stuff would have been when I'd imagine when you were doing like, a press cycle for But I'm a Cheerleader, people probably wanted to talk to you about sex and sexuality. And I think we mm-hmm. had this interesting like timeline as a band. We started making music in 2014 or 2013 mm-hmm. and like putting stuff out a little bit after that. And we had conversations before we started to release music that were about like if we wanted to be out as a band from the jump.
Katie was talking about.
We decided to be out like yeah. before we started putting out music. And it's so like, if I'm being completely honest, I do feel like we were at a time where it was like this kind of gamble where it was like we might be pigeonholed, but also we might like this might help us.
It was such a weird time because like I feel like there were so many musicians who we knew were queer who were not out, mm-hmm. who are now out.
Mm-hmm. Most.
Mm-hmm. A lot. Like, yeah, truly. I mean, Tegan and Sarah know how much we love them. They're like the only fucking ones.
That, yeah.
At that time. And that's not even that long ago.
Yeah. And everything has mm-hmm. everything has changed so much like in less than 10 years between 2014 oh, yeah. and now. But even like between the 90s and 2014, I think it's kind of hard sometimes for people to understand like how different the environment was. And so I actually think it was I don't know if you did this intentionally, but I think it's really safe like for you to have protected yourself, because I don't know what would have happened had you like given that part of yourself to the media to like
yeah.
consume and mess around with. I think like it was a really good instinct at that point in time to just kind of like let yourself have a private life and figure out who you were before other people decided that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was also so young. I was just like, how do I navigate any of this stuff?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I mean, I started acting when I was 18.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is nothing.
Yeah. Nothing at all.
I feel like I didn't even know who I was until 2 years ago. Truly.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. How old are you?
Katie and I just turned 30.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I still feel like I'm just like.
I think that's queer people. Like, I think yeah. so much of your life, you feel like you're wrong and. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time, I think, for like self-acceptance. And once you have some sort of self-acceptance, you can actually figure out what that self is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Generally.
What was your experience like watching? I mean, obviously, you've been in so many amazing movies. Some of them are honestly a little too scary for me. So, because I'm a little baby. But I know that it was 20th anniversary of But I'm a Cheerleader last uh-huh. year, right? Uh-huh. Or the year prior to that. What was it like? We were there at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery when all the bugs were flying around, like the craziest bug experience.
Oh yeah, those bugs were scary.
That was nuts. What was it like for you to like rewatch the movie? And I don't know, there were so many. It was cute seeing all the people there, at least even for us who like.
Yeah. Not only were we there, but we were directly behind you guys. So we saw like.
I just saw the twins.
We saw like the little high school kids and yeah. how cuddly they were with you. And it was cute really, really as hell. Sweet. Yeah.
They were really cute. I mean, one of them was really making a lot of noise, but then the other one would just come and like cuddle, and it was so cute. I love them so much.
Oh, sweet.
It was cool. I mean, I hadn't seen the movie in probably 15 years at least. And there were so many people there. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I don't know that it had that people still care about it is so cool, and that it's had the impact that it's had is really, it was like amazing and then also devastating because I was so young.
Yeah.
I was 21.
Well, you look great.
It's like, why did I hate myself so much?
I understand that feeling.
So cute.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's complicated because, like, obviously, I agree with what Katie's saying of like protecting yourself being such a good instinct, but like, man, how shitty to like, we live in a culture that robs queer people of their being able to just be young like everybody else. And it's yeah. like that, yeah. that does just suck.
And like yeah. free.
And maybe it's not like that now. I don't really know.
Yeah. But it's been really, yeah, we ended up going to that screening because it was like right around the time that yeah. the album came out.
Something. Yeah, we were in town.
And we were like, oh, this is like, such a good celebration because the video that we did for Silk Chiffon like really changed our careers a lot. And it was also like just a really meaningful moment for us because we've been joking from the beginning. Like, I watched But I'm a Cheerleader. I downloaded that illegally on my laptop.
Queen.
And watched it in my bedroom, either in like junior high or high school. And, you know, and then never thought about it again until I was having my gay flashback moment of like, you know.
Your usual suspects why was that, montage.
Why did I feel like I needed to see this?
Yeah, but it's just when you realize that like every gay, that became like one of my favorite questions to ask gay people. I'm like, so when did you illegally download But I'm a Cheerleader?
Everyone was like, everyone was like magnetically attracted. Everyone who was queer and our age was magnetically attracted to the DVD of that in the video store. Like,
I don't know why
we
found
it. I have to watch this, yeah. But I think I have to watch this.
I think I have to watch this. And then like,
and not tell my mom.
Yeah. And that night I learned about our friend Ames, like turned on the TV one night and it was randomly on like late at night somewhere. And like, that was their moment. Like for me, I repressed it. But I did watch the movie and it was evidence of being gay later on. But for Ames, like they realized they were gay like while they watched that movie
and they
then
were
they
like,
came out like right after.
That.
And I think that's true for so many people. I mean, I really can't think of anything else that is as much of a, I mean, I guess people do that thing with Kristen Stewart, like from the Twilight era. Like if you thought that Kristen was gay, then you're gay. If you thought that she was bi, then you're bi.
That's funny.
But other than that, like the other litmus test for gay people really from our like age range was like, did you find a way to watch this movie? And if you did, then
yeah,
you are gay.
Yeah.
Or you're really cool.
Yeah. But probably gay.
Yeah, maybe.
I would say you're gay.
Yeah. And it's so wild too, because it is one of the things that we talked a lot about when we were releasing Silk was the importance of having these stories that don't end in tragedy and that are full of joy and full of like celebration. And it's kind of heartbreaking too that like you guys were able to make this film that had so much levity in it and where the gay people are these like nuanced, happy people that get like a good ending, but then your reality was actually like a little bit different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, films and TV are aspirational for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Like sometimes they're just depicting the world that we say that about songs too. Like sometimes they're just depicting the world that we want to be in.
But you like yeah. wish was true. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's better now though. I mean, it's still hard for a lot of people, I think, you know, in New York and LA and
yeah,
probably Chicago. It's like a different situation. We're very lucky.
Definitely.
To live here.
Yeah.
We're definitely. In our little bubbles. Dude, thank you so much for coming on.
And we will hope that one day we can do an escape room.
Yeah.
I would love. I love to do an escape room. Well,
Joe's good at math. She's an asset.
That's my only. Yeah, I'm not very good at anything else. But we end the podcast in a funny way. Well,
yeah, we do.
We do.
I'll be the judge of that.
It's not funny.
Fine,
but it is. It's very.
I would
earnest.
Say it's homosexual. So yeah, Katie's gonna start it off
in my
and
definition.
Then.
Funny gay. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this has been chaotic. Thank you for listening. Love y'all, and I love you, Katie.
Thank you so much for your time, and we can't tell you how much it was a dream come true to have you on this, and I love you, Josette.
Yeah, Joe kind of summarized it nice. I struggle with this one.
You're going to have your...
Stop it. I always close my eyes. Everybody's bullying me. Thank you, Clea, for coming on the podcast, and I love you, Naomi, shockingly.
Aww.
Well, thank you all for having me, and hopefully I'll meet you in real life someday.
Yeah, Def.
Wait.
You have to do
have
it,
nice
too.
Day.
No, you have
to.
No.
You have to say that you love yourself.
To too.
Oh, I love you, Clea.
Aww.
maniacal laugh.
Mwahaha, self-love!
Hey, little one, you're sticking with me. Nobody is gonna take you away. We're gonna go out and we're gonna meet some really great people, but you are always gonna stay by my side, sleep in my bed, sit at my table where you will be fed. all that you need. Hey, little one, you're sticking with me. There were some nights when I left you alone. I went out dancing and didn't come home. Worse, I left you in incapable hands. I wasn't ready for you, I had plans. Promise you everything's so different now. But I know you're nervous when I take you out. That's why I wrote you this sweet melody. To say, hey, little one, you're sticking with me. You're sticking with me. Nobody is gonna take you away. We're gonna go out and we're gonna meet some really great people, but you are always gonna stay by my side, sleep in my bed, sit at my table where you will be fed. Not all that you want, but all that you need. Hey, little one, you're sticking with me. Hey, little one, you're sticking with me.
Yaotic is a production of HeadGum.
Created and hosted by us, the band Muna, but mostly we're known as the famous podcasters from the podcast Yaotic.
Our producer is Anya Kanevskaya.
And our associate producer is Ali Khan.
If you want to prove that you love us, feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever people review podcasts. We might even pick your review and talk about it if it's a really good and really nice one.
You can subscribe to Yaotic on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher,
wherever you get your podcasts.
New episodes drop on Hump Day, Wednesday. One of the greatest days of the week, baby.
That's right. We do this regularly because we have fucking discipline.
You're listening to our voices right now, which sound pretty good. But guess what? The face cards don't decline either. So head over to our Instagram at whereismuna and like one of our photos. I mean, truly any dopamine hit we can get is helpful.
Meet you right back here next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.